Richard, great to see you here at the home of the Rings coming out of Red Devils. Great to see you, mate, here, come up here, and mate, it's a bit of a homecoming, even though you had a little bit of your schooling here in Gunnedah South School.
Mate, I did. I actually lived here and from 15 months through to 10 years old, and have so many fond memories of Gunnedah, and having not been back here for 30 odd years, I've managed to revisit a few of them when I went back to see some old friends and visit a few old places which we used to haunt as young blokes.
Been quite a few changes, no Big Chicken anymore and no Monterey Cafe, and yeah, the picture theatre's sort of gone as well, and yeah, it's just been interesting the way the town's changed.
You still got Porcupine Lookout, you still got the gully. I lived in 113 George Street, I went and checked that out. The golf course looks pretty similar. A lot of it still looks the same.
Of course, your dad was a teacher in this part of the world, and then you moved over to Port Macquarie. Tell us a little bit about that experience of moving so young.
Obviously, we, as young people, didn't really want to go, but once we moved to Port Macquarie, we didn't look back as young blokes either. So there was four of us, myself and three brothers, mum and dad. Change of scene, it didn't hurt us, but We still have a really fond spot for Gunnedah.
Well, part of that is you actually became a very good player in another sport, and that was you in the under-15s played for the Australian Merit Team in rugby league. Some fantastic memories. Tell us some of the memories of that.
It was a great time. I had 2 years playing in the New South Wales under-15s and into the Australian Merit side. The competition of football was, you know, was certainly top draw at that stage. And it was a challenge and a battle, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Of course, you made the move to Taz at Armidale, a big school there, and you've got your facade on the wall there, like the esteemed King Tut himself there, James Holbeck. Yeah, it must have been incredible to go to such a fantastic school that was just so incredible, rugby, rugby, rugby.
Well, the beauty was the timing of which I went there. I was only there in 84, 85. During the 84 season, they were fundraising, the school was fundraising, getting ready to tour to the UK for 5 weeks to follow the 84 Wallabies. The timing of me getting there at the start of 84 meant I can go on that tour. And then the following year, we got the benefits of that tour in that we went through undefeated as a schoolboy side from Taz, which was unheard of and won't be heard of it again.
And then, of course, you moved on to, in a way, the ultimate honour at Australian schoolboys level. To Captain Australia, you shared that duty with Ricky Stewart. It's been phenomenal, not only playing in those Grand Slam sort of home nation teams, but also the exotic types like Holland and the like as well.
It was fantastic tour. We had, I think we had 12 weeks on that schoolboys tour, which, as you say, included Italy, yeah. Holland, Belgium, and then also through the UK. We didn't do Wales, it's the only one we missed. It was actually, we were billeted out, which is unusual to, you know, what they do these days. And having billeted was also, and I'm still in touch with billets I had back then. The tour that we went on, we're all still a tight mob, and we're all still in touch with each other. So it was a really life-changing couple of years, to be honest, 84, 85.
You know, you experience having interviewed the coach of what is now the Australian under-18/Australian schoolboys. That sort of thing has now gone into the past, which is a little bit disappointing. But the world does move on. And from there, of course, you moved on to play with the South Magpies in Brisbane. A couple of premierships would have been a bit of fun. And also, of course, playing with some reasonable fellows there, including Jason Little, Tim Horan, Garrick Morgan, Greg Robinson. How was the time there at Chipsy Wood Oval?
Well, I enjoyed my time at Chipsy Wood Oval. The unfortunate thing was that actually I missed... we lost both grand finals that I was there. It still irks a bit, but it does build your resolve in your rugby career. And there were some classic players I did play with, don't worry about that. The Lawton brothers, Dan Crowley, as you said, Tim and Jason were obviously parts of it. But we also lost to a pretty good uni team, which had Slattery, Liner, Coker, Lily Kraut, Greg Martin. So it was Wallaby team versus Wallaby team, but they got the better of us both times.
Also, then you moved on to Sydney to play with North. We won't talk about you playing for Queensland, but yeah, just a unique opportunity, because it was quite unique that fellas would play for New South Wales and Queensland. It was a rare thing. It's not like the professional games where blokes can swap over all the time. It was just one of those things where you went to Norths and you were part of the real sort of revolution there as far as professional rugby.
Well, it was, I guess, the build-up into professional rugby, because it was still 5 or 6 years I played with the Waratahs where it was amateur, and we had some successful time through that. My first year in 1990 was we didn't win a game, and then following year in 91 we had 10 games undefeated, and then through 92, 93, 4, 5 we developed our way into what turned into professional rugby. But the Super 10s was a great, I really enjoyed that tournament, bringing in the South Africans into it and etc. It was a good tournament.
Playing for Australia, of course, you made your speedo in 1992 against the Scots, but you're part of the World Cup winning side. Yourself, David Knox, and also Adrian McDonald weren't able to play on the tour. You held the tackle bags and all that sort of stuff, did a lot of the grunt work, but you got a spot in one of the Ford cars there in the Ticketo Parade as well, which must have been fantastic. You still got the medallion, and the memories are just sensational, the way you sort of got stuck into it, not only just getting there over Ireland, but beating the Poms and really giving the All Blacks a bit of a lashing. But on the way through, it just must have been mud and mud and mud. You played Samara in the mud there at Pontypool, and also Nick Farr-Jones with his sore knee, and Greg Craig sort of reviving him every week, it seemed to be.
Oh, look, it was an interesting campaign. Don't worry, the World Cup was fantastic. Even Tim Horan was struggling the week leading up to the final of the World Cup. Look. I didn't play a game in the World Cup, but I definitely know I played my part. I feel as though we won the World Cup, and I can rest easy that the selectors got it right. Had we not won the World Cup, I may have had something to grumble, but I loved it. I played my part. I enjoyed the, as you say, the victory parades. And I certainly got that medal and everything to look at afterwards, so it's good.
Of course, you got to play professional rugby and amateur rugby for the Wallabies 92 and 96 as well, which was a very unique opportunity. Peter Jorgensen, you would have believed this guy would have been a superstar, but he only got to play 2 tests for the Wallabies in his career when he got hurt in the grand final in 93. But speaking of hurt, sadly, you've in a wheelchair, but tell us a little bit about that experience, and it must be devastating how your life has completely turned upside down, not only for yourself but your family as well.
Oh, look, absolutely devastating. Look, I had a fantastic rugby career, and the strange thing is that the position I was in when I had my injury playing soccer was a position I was in hundreds of times before in my rugby career. Just one of those freak accidents that happened, and it unfortunately it's left me a quadriplegic. As a result, there's more challenges that I have to face on a daily basis. But things which, you know, it's the cards you're dealt, and you got to pick them up and play what you're dealt, and that's what I do on a daily basis, I guess.
Well, you can look at the blessings of the fact you can stand up and walk around a little bit. You've got great support with your great wife there and Carissa, beautiful kids, and the rugby family's really got stuck into it, and with yourself being such a massive inspiration, you know, people like the Classic Wallabies and the Classic Wallaroos are going to get around you as well.
Oh, look, I must say I'm very, so very thankful for my rugby community. It's unreal. Like, here I am up in Gunnedah, and at the Gunnedah Red Devils for the weekend, and I'm running into the rugby community here, which is so strong in its fabric. I'm getting so much support here, and I came up with 16 guys from the North Shore of Sydney, all just rugby tragics. I only knew 3 or 4 of them, but again, they've just jumped on the bandwagon and helped me wherever I can. I honestly think Australia in itself is a fantastic community when it comes to helping out disabled, really.
Well, the great thing about it is you can make a contribution there, and you're part of 2 fantastic things yourself, and that is Guns Out for Tomsy. They're on the Facebook page. The website will be back up and running in the fullness of time, but you've had all sorts of great events, from walking events, running events, boxing events, all that sort of thing, to be able to get in, not only contribute money, but raise awareness as well, which is really, really important. Tell us a little bit about that, having set it up yourself.
The Guns Out Spinal Foundation is all about heightening the awareness of spasticity in spinal cord injuries. Spasticity is what what probes or plagues me and makes it difficult for me to move. As you say, I can walk. My walking is at a sloth's pace. I got to be thankful for the fact I can move, but if we can find a cure for spasticity, not only do we resolve a lot of spinal cord injuries, it's also...
hopefully we can get some research going also using stem cells, because there's been some fantastic stuff in regards to that. Finally, of course, Hearts and Union. Rocky Hill set it up a few years ago there. Rugby Australia really back it to the hilt. You'll find out more through the website there, heartsandunion.com.au. But another big thing there where we've had a couple of fellas who've been hurt from playing rugby this year. And... yeah, the community has really got stuck into it, contributing $500,000 each. But as you know, this is really just the start. And one of the great challenges is when all the spotlight goes away and you're by yourself and your family by yourself, and you just got to be able to just keep grinding away, looking for hope wherever you can to be able to make it happen.
Look, it's a terrible tragedy what's happened to a couple of players in the early parts of this season. Fortunately, they are in a strong fabric of rugby union, and they are getting good support, and they will get good support. The charity I'm working for is Hearts in Rugby Union, and we specifically look after permanently injured rugby players. My role is to generate funds for them, and we've got a lot of things in place already for these couple of players, but certainly go and have a look at the Hearts in Rugby Union. It's a really worthwhile charity, and one I'm proud to be a part of. As you say, two to three days a week I work generating and increasing the awareness of Hearts in Rugby Union. There's a number of events which are coming up around the England and the Rugby Championships, and Hearts in Rugby Union will be front and centre in the front of that. So keep your eyes out for it, and where you have an opportunity, please dip into your pocket and give us $5 or $10. It'd be lovely.
Well, Richard, it's been fantastic to meet you, mate. You've been an absolute inspiration. We look forward to seeing more of you around the place. Certainly our thoughts and prayers for you, mate. You can walk, because there's plenty of people out there on your side, and you know, the old cliche, it's easy to sit there and say it, but tough times don't last. Tough people do, but there's also a lot of times of loneliness where you're out there doing the physio all by yourself, grinding away. But if you know a mate who's doing it tough, get out there and support him. There's nothing wrong with dropping a letter or saying g'day, or even just taking him for a walk or whatever. So Richard, we want to thank you for your time. We wish you all the best in all your endeavours. All the best to Krista as well. After all, she did play in 4 World Cups herself in netball, and all your family as well. Thank you for your time.